pray, let the Lord have his way.
Yes.
Amen. God bless.
Since the Lord's only a little bit away, why don't we make an intentional effort to make heaven our home?
Amen.
Lift up your hands and pray to Jesus real quick.
Lord, I love you, and I'm a willing vessel for you, Jesus. Lord, I want to make heaven my home, Lord. Direct my path and lead me in your way, oh God. I thank you, Jesus, and I worship you.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, it's very exciting to wake up and then have a text from your pastor. Be like, will you bring something? I'm like, I waited 20 minutes and I'm like, Lord, please no. Well, obedience is better than sacrifice. So I'm obeying the voice of the Lord. Well, with that being said, I want to thank you. It's not my comfort zone to be up here, but if the Lord says so, I'm a willing vessel. With that being said, please turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 19. I was in Sunday school while y'all turning. I was in Sunday school with the Watsons, and they had the kids memorizing this verse. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then towards the end of service, pastor also quoted it. So I'm like, Lord, if it is, let it be. But I want to focus upon verse 14 through 19. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
It states, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become what?
New.
And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." You may be seated. I do want to go back through this and point out certain things. Starting with verse 14, it says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." I looked up constraineth because I'm like, isn't that mean holding back? Well, one of the definitions is to stop us. So I was like, oh, that's interesting. Which if I reread it with it, I'm gonna reread it with all the different definitions of the words that we don't see on the daily. So it's, "Therefore the love of Christ constraineth us," or "to stop us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth," or from now on, "live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again, that being our God. Wherefore," or "in addition," wherefore is "in addition," henceforth. So "in addition," from now on, "know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, from this time forth, know we him no more. Therefore," or "because of everything I just explained, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new." If you read through the 2 Corinthians, it is a letter to the church of Corinth, because they were allowing the world to creep into the church. And Paul was writing this to the church of Corinth, and he also wrote another letter before it, being 1 Corinthians. And he already addressed some of these situations, and some repented, Some were still going their own way, being defiant to the word of the Lord. So Paul was addressing it in this second letter to the church of Corinth. And I want to focus, as in Brother Watson did in the Sunday school class, verse 14. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. I'm hoping I say this enough that y'all get it in y'all's brain. If you focus upon this and want to put it into English, if that's how you want to explain it, if I come to this altar and I fall at the feet of Jesus, I give myself to the Lord, my past is no longer my past. Because if I surrender, as Pastor was saying this morning, surrender my all to the Lord, I become new. No longer am I seen as this old John. No longer am I seen of what I used to do, of what I have done through God's eyes, because the Lord forgets after you fully repent, not just a, I'm sorry, Lord, but as everyone says, it's a 180 degree turn away from my sins. It's what your word says. Then the Lord doesn't, he writes it off and throws it into the sea. Brother Watson also, I was sitting in a Sunday school class, and he also brought up a name which I have never heard of, and I'm probably going to butcher this, so y'all going to have to help me. Onesimus. Has anybody ever heard that? Alrighty. So this man was a slave to Philemon. Has anybody ever heard that name? Okay, so long story short, it's in the Word, and some of it is human's history of what they thought happened. He ran away. Then he went to Rome. That's where he ran. And in that endeavor of running away, he met a man named Paul. But Paul wasn't free. Paul was chained up. He was bondaged. But that doesn't stop a man of God. You read all through the Word, and it shows the persecution of God's people. It shows that the enemy is coming against it. But every single time, it shows evidence that God is on our side. And so within the whole picture of him meeting Paul and Paul being in bondage and chained up, Onesimus had a revelation of, I miss my home. Yes, he was a slave, but he had the house. He didn't have to worry about the money. He had jobs he could do. He didn't have to worry about it because he had his master. But now he's on his own. He has to go find a job. He has to go make the money so he can have a house, right? So with that being said, he's now in longing of missing his home. And he meets Paul. And Paul gives him a Bible study. He's a witness as the Lord says so. And so with that being cut short, Onesimus receives the Holy Ghost. And He was confessing to Paul of him missing Philemon and wanting to go back, but he's afraid that Philemon will not take him back because he'll be mad at him, because we have in history assumed that he stole from Philemon and ran away. So he was afraid that Philemon would be mad at him and would not accept him back. So Paul's like, I got you. He's like, you write this down for me. And then you go back. So he wrote letters to Paul, which would be the book of Philemon, or Philemon, however you want to pronounce it, would be the letter that Onesimus was writing for Paul to Philemon in regards to taking Onesimus back. And long story short, it's He wants to come back. Don't take him back as a slave. See him as my brother, as one, because he's my brother. You can't have him as a slave. If you want to put this down into in our timeline, if we were to walk away from the Lord, there is condemnation. And that's a big old devil a lot of people fight. Condemnation comes in many different forms. If you want to look at that as in relative to this story, we're afraid the Lord is going to be mad at us. We've done this. We've hurt God. We've hurt other people. We've greatly sinned against God. He won't take me back. I've done too much for the Lord to even love me. Who am I that I'm able to walk into the house of the Lord with liberty? But let it be said, if liberty is in this place, you have liberty. Because although you walked away, once you receive that Holy Ghost, you are stamped as a child of God. And once you're a child of God, you are a child of God. So you can come back to this house. You can be repented of your sins, a 180 turn. Not a, I'm sorry, walk out them doors and do the exact same thing you was doing. How do you expect for you to be free if you do the exact same thing? So it's a 180. It's a turning away of Lord, I'm tired of what I've been facing. I'm tired of the bondage. I'm tired of the struggle. It seems like every single day it's just one thing after another. But Lord, right now, I lay it upon the altar. I give it to you. It's your fight. It's your battle. And with that being said, the Lord opens his arms. He's had his arms open the whole time. You just got to walk into it. If you fight the condemnation, it's overcomable. Because as the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I think that's plain English. Words for word. If I can, not I might, it's I can do all things through Christ. That's not on my own will. That's not through my own doing. Like I said in the beginning, it's going to that altar. It's repenting of your sins. It all boils down to one thing, and that's surrendering, as Pastor said this morning. Do you think that the woman with the issue of blood, you think she would have got her healing if she didn't push through the worry? I mean, she fought it for 12 years. There had to have been worry. There was that overcoming of worry. There was an overcoming of frustration. There was an overcoming of a war. For 12 years she fought. There's been disappointment. There's been frustration. But in order for her to get her healing, there had to been a jumping over doubt. You think the paralyzed man with the four friends, he couldn't have got up and walked to Jesus. How could he get his healing? He can believe. He can have faith. But it took his friends, the four friends who picked him up. They also had to fight. I mean, they're humans. They can fight the thoughts of what these people might think about us. It's a crowd listening to Jesus. What are they going to think about us? We're picking up our friend and dropping him through the ceiling. They're going to think we're crazy. But there's faith. There's determination of I don't care what stands in front of me. I'm making it to Jesus. I'm making heaven my home. Take blind Bartimaeus. He sat by the wayside, blind, begging for alms. Where's his healing? What's he supposed to do? Walk to Jesus? Can't see. But one day, he heard that the Lord was coming through. He might not be able to get up and walk to Jesus, but he has a voice. And sure did he lift up that voice. Yes, everybody told him, keep your mouth shut. Quit being so loud. This is not the right place for that. He's not going to come to you. You're blind. You have all these issues. The Lord's here to teach us, not a mess with you. You're too much. There's nothing else for you here. Keep your mouth shut. But determination of I don't care what is in my way. I will lift up my voice and make a joyful noise because I believe there's a God that can solve my needs. Anybody believe that? Alrighty, you agreed with me, okay? 10 lepers. Everybody knows the story. They were all healed. They left. But one came back, fighting the looks of others, the thoughts of others. He couldn't stay silent. He had to lift up a joyful noise. So he goes back to God. He's like, Lord, I just want to thank you for being so good to me. I want to thank you for healing me. Right? And the Lord said, because of your faithfulness, you're made whole. Yes, the other one's got a healing. But this one was thankful beyond measure because God looked down on him. I was like, you're mine. Take the centurion. That's a Roman soldier. What's he doing with Jesus? He's one against. But when the Lord calls. I mean, there's an example. He used the donkey. If he used the donkey, there's well enough power in our Savior to change the heart of a Roman. But it didn't come easy. He's a Roman soldier. He has a standard he needs to hold. He can't be messing around with them people. He's not like them. So the Roman centurion had to fight pride. Ain't that a big one? Pride. Culture division. He's Roman. There's Jews and there's Gentiles. Ain't no way that he can possibly go to our Savior. He don't even believe what we believe. But the Lord changes hearts. The Lord changes minds. Overcoming pride falls beneath the feet of Jesus. All these had to push and fight to get a reward. There is no reward worth having if you ain't got to fight for it. If it's just handed to you, what kind of value do you have for it? If you have to work for what you have, there's a value holding to that. If this is mine, I worked for it. I earned this. It's mine. So there has to be a pushing through of the walls, pushing through the warfare that the enemy has set. Yes, there's barriers trying to block you, but you can do all things. Pick it up. The faith the size of a mustard seed, move a mountain. If you can move a mountain with the size of a mustard seed of faith, what can you do with the barrier of the enemy? Yes. I mean, self-explanatory. Proverbs 16:17-19, it says, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. That's us. If we plan on making heaven our home, there's a 180 that must happen from evil, from the world, because we are supposed to separate ourselves from the world. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be often humble, or of an humble spirit, with the lowly, than to divide the spoil with the proud. As a human, I fight. There's been times that I've fought pride, and it may not look like the I'm better than everybody else. You can be sitting there, and pastor says, anybody need, come forth. Anybody need a healing, come forth. We'll lay hands, anoint. So that's what the word says. We're obedient to thy word, O God. But you're like, I'm scared of what somebody says. I'm scared of what somebody thinks. I don't want somebody to think that I have a bunch of issues. So I'm just going to sit here. The Lord sees me. Yes, the Lord sees you. But as I said in the beginning, obedience is better than sacrifice. So if you expect a healing, there needs to be a doing on your part. You can't make a hole if one does his side and the other person just sits there expecting the other one to do it. You can't have the reward from it if you don't do your part. So if you expect a healing, there needs to be a part on your side done. I have went through it of fear of what other people think. I shared a testimony Thursday. It was prayer. I forgot. It was this month, I think. I had back problems, and I think a lot of people know that I had back problems, and that's past tense because I believe the Lord healed me. I fought the thoughts of, well, these people think I got a big old problem, because every time pastor says in church service on Sundays, well, it used to be on Thursdays, but now it's Tuesdays, and then Thursdays for prayer, he's like, anybody need healing? I'm like, Lord, you know I have this problem. Please heal me. I keep going up there and nothing's happening. So, Lord, just touch me right here. I fought it for a long time, but then you have preachers come through and they're like, don't give up. Don't give in. There's no white flag for you. There's a determination that I made in my heart, in my life, that I don't have a white flag. There's no surrendering on my part. And with that mind made up, I'm like, Lord, if it takes me walking up there 100,000 times, I will walk up there, I will wobble up there, and I will stumble up there as long as I come with my mind made up that I'm getting a healing. 3 years. Thankfully, it didn't take as long as the one with the issue of blood, but 3 years. Back problems. Doubt flooded my mind of like, Lord, could you really? I've asked, but you ain't done it yet. Your word said, if I ask, I shall receive. I've asked, and I've come up to the front, and I've knocked upon your door, and I ain't got nothing. But just like the woman with the issue of blood, just like the centurion, just like the 10 lepers, just like the list that I gave, they had to overcome what barrier the enemy has put in front of their way before they got a healing. But not mine needs to be made up of no matter what comes against, heaven will be my home. Like Nana C says, it's intentional. You're not going to get to heaven on accident. It's an intentional walk. It's an intentional relationship and a made up mind. I want to make heaven my home.
Would you give the Lord a hand tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Woo, how many wants to make it? I want to make it. 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 Hallelujah. I want to make it, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah, Jesus. How many got something tonight? Did you get something from the Lord tonight? Hallelujah, praise God. Won't you give the Lord the praise now? Won't you lift your voice to the Lord? Hallelujah. Give the Lord that praise tonight. We can make it. Come on, we can make it tonight. Hallelujah. We give you praise and thanks, Jesus. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. For him just to get his message this morning from his pastor and for him to have this little bit of time. Amen. I thank you, Brother John. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. If you had a birthday this month, amen. You had a birthday this month. I need you to make your way up here. Katie Pirtle, Abigail Murray, Brother Josh, amen. Sister Weaver, amen. Sister Quinn, Sister Sharon. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Look at all these birthday girls and young men that is up here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Amen. I won't ask how old they are, but I know that there's one that just turned 13. Where she's at? Is that Sister Mary? Sister Mary, you 13? There's one next to you just turned 13. And Katie, how old are you, Katie? 11. I know better than ask any other lady. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's sing happy birthday to these.
A happy birthday
to you. A happy birthday. Would you pray God's blessings? We pray God's blessings on you. We pray God's blessings. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. We pray God's blessings on you. We pray God's blessings on you. And the best year you ever had. We're not going to ask Brother Josh's age either. He said, you know, amen. We're so thankful tonight. Happy birthday, every one of you. Amen. God bless. And tonight, we want y'all to go first in line in the back. Amen. Everybody say, God bless you.
God bless you.
Do we have any anniversaries? Any anniversaries? Woo! Look at here. The Weavers and the Rileys. Amen. The Pirtles. April weddings, April showers. Amazing, amazing, amazing. 21 years? Oh, 61 years. Brother and Sister Weaver? 28 years. Brother and Sister Pirtle? 45 years. Woo, isn't that amazing? Amen. How blessed, how blessed, how blessed. Amen. We honor you. Amen. May God make this your blessed year. Amen. A year of His grace and power. Amen. Let's sing
happy
to them.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you.
May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. A happy anniversary. A happy anniversary to you. And the blessed year you ever had. We pray God's blessings on you. We pray God's blessings on you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. We pray God's blessings. We pray God's blessings on you and the best year you ever had. Let's give the Pirtles, the Weavers, and the Rileys a big hand. Woo! Congratulations. Amen. We're so thankful for these tonight. Amen. Let me let you know, in the third building, amen, we have baked potatoes tonight and all the trimmings. And I need to ask a favor. When we go back there, it seems that the cleanup, amen, has always fallen on the same hands. Amen. I need help in the back that we work together, and we need those that can help us. Amen. And clean that. Don't let the same person do it. Somebody has to take the trash out, and don't let it be the same one. If you don't know who, maybe it's your turn. Amen. And Sister Nina, she's done a tremendous job cleaning the sanctuary, and we're so thankful. Amen. Who cleans the men's restroom? Let's see. Anybody? Whoa. Not. I want to know if the congregation knows who cleans it. Brother Josh? It's Brother Josh. Who cleans the ladies' restroom? And I think others help with that as well. Let's give these a hand that's doing the work behind the scene. In the parking lot, if you see a piece of paper in the driveway or whatever, or all in the parking lot, make sure you help us out. You come up here during the daytime and you want to water the flowers, you're welcome to help us. Any part we need help in mowing, amen. And if Sister Nina needs somebody to help run a vacuum cleaner here in the sanctuary, clean. Do you know that every chair in here we clean? She takes and she has a roller. And if you come in here one time and you have to clean all the glitter up, you'll never want to bring anything but glitter again. I'm telling you. Amen. So your chair, the way that you help clean is to keep clean, right? Amen. If you could pick up after yourself, when you go to leave, don't leave your water bottle. And if you chew gum, we shouldn't chew gum in church anyway. But if you chew gum, I want you to spend a day up here cleaning the gum from underneath these chairs one time. You'll never want to chew gum, and you never want somebody else to chew gum in church. Amen. It's nasty. Amen. I need your help. Amen. For not chewing gum and helping keep the sanctuary clean. Amen. We're so honored to have everyone tonight. Roy, what a joy to have you with us. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Brother Zach's going to come dismiss us with prayer and praying over the food tonight.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for this service. We thank you for your word. We ask you, Lord, to bless this food and this fellowship. Keep your hand upon us as we travel home tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Let's go to heaven. How? Together.